Welcome to another episode of Strategic Planning for Business Owners. My name is Steve Young. I am a Senior Vice President at UBS. I lead a team known as the Business Transition Consulting Team. We focus on exit planning strategies for owners of closely held companies and also the post-exit wealth management that results from the liquidity of the sale. Today, we're going to be talking about the transportation industry, and I'm going to be very excited to bring on a guest. My guest today is Randy Hooper from Katz, Sapper & Miller. And Randy, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Steve. Appreciate the opportunity. So I'll go ahead and give a quick background about KSM and our transportation practice before we dive in here.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, KSM is, we're an 80-year-old CPA firm, a CPA and advisory firm with over 500 people. And years and years ago, 80 years ago, our first client was a trucking company, just so happens. And so that's an industry that we proudly have invested in over that period of time and have grown to serve over 150 transportation companies from Maine to California and everywhere in between. And we also serve a lot of private equity and strategic buyers that maybe we don't do the audit and tax work, but just on the M&A side or M&A advisory side. So we see a lot of deals within the space and do a lot of due diligence, quality of earnings, and then all the tax analysis and structuring as it relates to M&A within transportation also. And then one kind of unique fact about KSM is we have an embedded transportation advisory group. And so that group also does operational diligence, something that they call quality of freight or freight math. So they'll look at two transportation companies and overlay their operations and assist in that manner also, which is a really unique thing for the CPA world. So that kind of is our practice in a nutshell and who we are.
I appreciate that introduction and background information about your specialty niche there. And as I said in the introduction, we are going to be talking about the transportation industry. And, you know, the listeners that tune into this podcast are generally owners of closely held businesses in several different industries. And I think one of the things we're really focusing in on now after COVID is kind of moving into the back rearview mirror is maybe comparing and contrasting how the industries have changed before COVID to after COVID. Trucking industry, I think, has been, I should say, transportation as a whole industry has been affected by a lot of different factors. And maybe you can take a few minutes to touch on that for our listeners.
Yeah, I mean, there's really been a roller coaster of trends before and after COVID, and some of them just relate to kind of the overall economic state of transportation that just happened to coincide with COVID. And of course, some of them were a result of COVID itself. But if you think back to 2019 for the transportation world, you know, anyone that was in trucking specifically in that time knew it was a really down year. And the cycle just had transportation coming out strong of 2019 heading into the pandemic. Well, the pandemic brought all kinds of uncertainty. So there was this period of time where we had really high earnouts because of the uncertainty that the pandemic brought. But then pretty quickly into the pandemic, I think the world saw how crucial transportation was to the overall economy, and that even when the entire world shut down, transportation didn't. And so it was like this really quick tail where we had these big earnouts and it really impacted deals. And then maybe 3 or 4 months into the pandemic, as people realized the value of transportation companies and how well they performed, all of a sudden those earnouts and maybe the unfavorable seller items kind of went away. And then you kind of whipsawed back here recently as freight rates have gone back down. So now we've gone from seeing big earnouts, maybe some seller financing, to none of that for a couple of years. And now because of the freight economy, we're kind of back to seeing the seller take some of the onus on making sure they're hitting earnout numbers, et cetera, to kind of get their full amount. You know, another thing that happened as part of the pandemic was the PPP phenomenon. So, you know, KSM serves a lot of mid-market companies who receive PPP. And it's pretty amazing the ripple effect that that has had on M&A activity. So companies that otherwise may have been forced to sell were held afloat by PPP. And so in some ways delayed some transactions. Some people use that as a way to invest and maybe make their first acquisition. And all these years later, you know, 3 years later, the PPP impact is still kind of around, which is surprising, but definitely still a factor. And I think we'll talk more about this later, but I think the pandemic, you know, we talked about trucking proving itself as being a reliable industry to invest in during a pandemic. And it brought a lot of other investors to the table that we haven't seen before. And I think there was kind of an awakening to the stability in some ways of trucking, which was not an overly sexy industry to invest in previously. But, you know, 80% of our nation's freight comes in on a truck, which is pretty phenomenal. If you think about all the modes of transportation, air, rail, barge, whatever it may be, 80% of it happens on a truck. And when a pandemic or something horrible happens, you can't turn that faucet off. And so I think people realized how reliable of an investment a transportation company could be. And so I think that brought a lot of interested buyers to the table as they saw that's something that may be a pandemic-proof investment.
There's a lot of interesting pieces of information you just shared with us, Randy. And I guess one of the things I didn't think about was the effect of the PPP on this industry particularly and how essential it was for keeping the economy moving as we went through this kind of dark period in our time there. The other thing I thought was interesting, and we talked earlier about this, there's actually different segments within the transportation industry. And I'm assuming that each one of these segments has probably been impacted a little differently. Maybe you can shed some light on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question because it's easy to just paint transportation with a broad brush, but there really were vast differences in how different modes of transportation fared during the pandemic. So we see several of our clients and a lot of even PE firms that have invested in drayage operations. And so a drayage is the containers come to the ports and maybe from overseas ships. And a lot of times there's short or long haul of taking those containers and sometimes they go on rail, whatever the case may be. But those container haulers that were dependent on the freight coming in on barges from China, for instance, you can imagine the first couple of months of COVID, those businesses were absolutely decimated for a couple of months there. And then, you know, same thing with carriers that had very heavy retail drive-in freight. You know, for several months there was no retail happening at all in brick and mortar stores. Companies that hauled heavy auto parts really took a strong hit for a couple of months there. But for the most part, really all of those elements of transportation rebounded pretty quickly. The vast difference was if you think about, okay, I'm going to haul 90% of my freight is auto parts versus a refrigerated carrier that was heavily dedicated to, say, hauling for grocery stores, where they probably performed phenomenally all throughout the pandemic. And potentially a future investor might say, well, that's the kind of investment that I would like to have, is something that's a little bit pandemic proof and not only did not take a hit during pandemic, but actually performed exceedingly well. Another example would have been like a home delivery company. So the white glove home delivery transportation world has been a hot investment for a lot of PE folks, just because of what I said. You know, if you think about all the large home purchases or workout equipment that was purchased throughout the pandemic, They performed really well and made them an attractive acquisition for people trying to diversify their transportation investments. Yeah, so that's just some examples of how people fared during the pandemic. You know, I will say, now that we're kind of so far out of the pandemic, hard to believe I'm saying those words, but really investors might find some intrinsic value in how transportation companies performed during that time. But really now we're looking at a trailing 12 months. And so it's been interesting over the last year. We're kind of a year in now to this freight recession. So depending on what kind of freight you haul, you probably started seeing things get really flat last summer and even dip in Q4 of last year. And so we're now, as people are out to market, we have a full year of pretty depressed freight rates that have baked into your trailing 12 months. I'm sure we may talk about multiples and values here in a minute, but that's probably been the biggest trend in the last year, is people realizing, okay, maybe I was 3 months into a depressed market and it's not going to tank my overall value. But now, as we've seen, we may be heading into a recovery, a freight recovery. But if you're out to market right now, you just have that unfortunate window of a really bad year as your trailing 12 that you're going to market with.
That's interesting you bring that up now. And I do want to circle back to this in a second, but I wanted to touch on just the demographic part and how that affects like the owners of freight companies now. So obviously everybody's gotten older with every passing year, but as far as an industry goes, how do you see the demographics shaping up and how does that affect owners' desires to either retain the business or to move it into somebody else's hands and retire?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of this will be anecdotal just based on the 30 or so carriers that I work with, or maybe 150 or so that we work with. There does seem to be a trend where, you know, we work with a lot of second and third generation truckers, and that next generation, maybe the millennial generation, there does seem to be less of them interested in going into that world, or maybe the boomer generation or the folks that are thinking about exiting, they know that trucking is a business of cents and making really tight margins work. And so they don't want their kids to live through that. And so there has been this kind of unique shift away from definitely going to the next generation to exploring alternative buyers kind of across the spectrum of strategic private equity. And one big player in that relates to your question is ESOPs. So as we have an aging demographic of transportation owners, and they don't necessarily have that next generation that wants to get involved, selling a trucking company is hard. And sometimes an ESOP, an employee stock ownership plan, makes sense if someone wants to kind of have their legacy live on and they don't have that next generation. So we've actually seen a really big uptick in transportation companies interested in doing ESOPs. Oddly enough, it's not something necessarily you immediately think of, but that's definitely been a trend and something that I think is actually going to really continue to grow for a variety of reasons.
That's an interesting point. Now, I know I'm switching gears, no pun intended, on you back and forth. A couple of the topics you brought up, and I do want to come back to that ESOP and the buyer pool as well. But going back to the comment you made about the trailing 12, I was recently speaking with a number of investment bankers and private equity people last week at a conference. And one of the things was we were reminiscing about going through the pandemic in 2020, where people were really trying to figure out how do you look at the performance of a company when you have the impact of the basically shutdown of the economy, how that was going to be viewed. And then fast forward a couple years to 2023, where we are now, we're seeing the phenomena which you just went through a minute ago about how kind of revenues ballooned up, stabilized, and are now coming back down again. So I guess the question is, when looking at valuations for transportation companies, you know, are you looking at an average of 3 years of revenue now? Or are we looking at broadening that out to maybe five or even longer years to try to smooth out that trajectory of revenues and profits? What are you seeing in your world?
Yeah, it's a whole mix and a broad array, probably depending on how sophisticated and comfortable with the industry that the buyer is. We do a lot of that analysis. We'll come alongside transportation companies as they're looking at investments and provide guidance there. And so I've seen companies take a three-year approach. But really, I mean, for a lot of financial buyers, I see them taking a shorter-term approach, a trailing 12 months with a 12-month projection to see what their cash flow is going to look like over that year. And then one thing that's interesting about, for me at least, about transportation is we serve a lot of mid-market companies and even maybe some small carriers. And a lot of their values in some ways are kind of balance sheet driven, because a lot of truckers, a lot of their value is based on the equipment that they hold. And so if you timed it right, if you think back to last January 22, the used equipment market was just outrageous. So I think I saw something from J.D. Power that showed that the average used sleeper truck was something in the neighborhood of $145,000, which is really on par with a brand new one, not that different. And so there were companies, maybe you had 200 trucks, you were thinking about selling. Well, just the sheer value of your equipment was so inflated at that time. I saw a lot of people consider exit. Just because it wasn't a multiple of EBITDA, or it wasn't based on the trailing 12 months or projected earnings. It was solely based on balance sheet, and they got out at the exact right time, and their value is really buoyed by the equipment. Now, if you fast forward to today, that $145,000 sleeper cab, J.D. Power would have that same average be listed under $50,000. Wow. So it is the largest spike and then the largest crash of equipment values that we've ever seen in the industry. And for small or mid-market carriers that don't really rely on valuing the cash flow stream necessarily that a large carrier would, and so much of it is balance sheet driven, I mean, that was just an amazing time to sell and has had some really big ripple effects. And so as people are valuing potential acquisitions in the industry, there definitely has to be kind of a mix of what you're looking back, you know, 3 years, 12 months, whatever the case may be, but also looking at the balance sheet, the strength of the equipment and the value there. It's had an amazing swing here in the last 2 years.
That's very interesting. And I'm sure that has a huge impact on the ability to finance these transactions as well. So you couple that with the rising interest rate environment that we're in. Sounds like you have a recipe for tighter parameters, tougher deal structure, and things alike. Speaking of deal structure and interest rates and balance sheet changes, what are you seeing is, and you alluded to this earlier on, but you know, as far as deal structure going now, you'd mentioned earlier more seller concessions. What types of things are you seeing is more of kind of a standard out there, or is there a standard out there when looking at these deals?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't think that there is necessarily a standard. There definitely have been some trends over the last, call it, year and a half. So as I mentioned, we're kind of back to seeing more increased earnouts. I've seen more increased seller financing. Another trend, and I don't know if it's necessarily seller unfavorable, but there have been, I've seen a lot more rollover deals, and maybe it's the folks that aren't quite ready to retire, but they think it was a good time to get out, but they still like being in the industry. And so they want a second bite of the apple with that next investment. So there's been a lot more rollover in the deals that I've seen, but definitely less just you have your monster check and you're going to go be on the beach for the rest of your life. I mean, I think those kind of deals kind of spiked in 2020, and I've not seen as many without some kind of rollover, earn out, whatever the case may be. And then as far as deal structure goes, you know, trucking, because it's very typically equipment heavy, we see a lot of 338 deals. And not to get too tax nerdy here, but that essentially is a stock deal that allows you to get a step up in the assets. And so it's treated as an asset deal. And so we see a lot of those and something we call F reorgs, which is basically convert to an LLC and get the benefit. The buyer gets the benefit of depreciating the equipment. Mm-hmm. I'd say on a typical trucking deal that I see, 90% of them are either a 338 or an F reorg, but that may be a little more technical than we want to get into.
No, but it is interesting to hear that there are options for taking care of depreciation and structuring in a different manner. So I'm glad you brought that up. Getting close to the end here, I got a couple more questions for you, Randy. And you touched on this earlier, too. As far as PE buyers versus strategic buyers, are there consolidators going across the country now putting these businesses together? Or what's the flavor from the buyer standpoint? Who's looking at these deals and what are they looking to do?
I think it's still strategics are the best buyers or the most prolific buyers out there, but we definitely have seen a huge uptick in PEs. Now, before the pandemic, most of the PEs that were in transportation were on the logistics side. You know, they're typically debt averse, you know, obviously risk averse. And so not many private equity firms like buying a company that has a very leveraged balance sheet. There are some, you know, niche ones out there that are just really good at it. We work with several of the Head Hall Capitals of the world, Lynx Partners, that they just have a really good knack for knowing the niche transportation industry elements they want to invest in, and then doing a good job of growing that. But the thing that makes maybe some of those PE firms different, like the ones I just mentioned, is maybe kind of having a reputation for having a good seller experience and having a longer hold period. And so you kind of have to be willing, you know, transportation is an industry of, as I said earlier, you know, pennies on for margin, but also it's very cyclical. And so you have to be willing to ride out the freight cycles. And so if you're a rigid PE firm with a 5-year turn process, you know, that just might not align with what you want to do. And you can't grow that, you know, a logistics company, a brokerage company, you can almost run just like a typical human capital company. It's not very leveraged. And maybe freight rates are down, but you can grow and scale it without having a lot of debt sometimes. If you're a PE shop and you want to invest in asset-based trucking companies, you kind of have to ride out the freight cycles and the used equipment cycles and put yourself, you're kind of at the liberty of a lot of things that you can't control, like fuel costs, used equipment market, et cetera. And so you'd be surprised at how many private equity companies I've talked to that made their first platform company in trucking and then said, yeah, we hate it. We're going to walk away. But I'll couple that with what I said earlier, which is it is really hard to ignore seeing a refrigerated carrier perform through a pandemic the way that they did and not be at least a little bit interested in having that as part of your portfolio if you're interested in the transportation world. So I kind of have a mixed answer there of, yes, there's a lot more activity, but I have seen a lot of PE firms not do well because it's not really what they're great at unless they kind of do it over and over again. And then I will add one other thing. I said earlier that the ESOPs have been great as a transition plan if there's not kind of an embedded buyer with the next generation or a strategic that wants to come in. But I think that's going to be one of the big trends is ESOP transportation companies that are able to go out and buy stock. So an ESOP can buy the stock of a trucking company and they're not worried about depreciation recapture. And so they become really effective buyers. So there are a couple out there that are prolific acquirers, but as we've seen this trend of new ESOP trucking companies, I'll be really interested to see over the next 5 years how many of those that are new ESOPs become acquiring ESOPs and go out and grow through acquisition.
That would be an interesting trend to follow. And I do see there's tremendous value in these types of companies going into an ESOP deal for the reasons you just outlined there. Last topic, I'm going to ask you to look into the future of the transportation industry from your perspective and understanding, you know, your role. But you see trends forming in the future. And I think the big trend right now is technology. And, you know, technology from AI to automation to autonomous driving, electrification. Do you see the transportation industry being a quick adopter of these types of innovations? And then how do you think that's going to impact valuations in the future?
I will say I think that the trucking world has some great thinkers and lobbyists that kind of lead the industry. And a lot of it's going to depend on how the industry kind of bands together and where they see it going. And the reason I say that is I think that we've got some great thinkers who have thought through how autonomous trucking is used. And it's been this big fad to throw out there, oh, we'll have driverless trucks. And I haven't seen that really embraced the way that some companies would like. And, you know, mostly we don't want to see trucks going down the road where someone can hack into it and all of a sudden that's, let's say it's an oil tanker. And now that's a weapon going down the road because someone can hack into it. And there's a lot of risk there. And because the industry doesn't seem to have embraced that, I don't really think it's the autonomous trucks that I think will really change the industry. I think the way that AI will change the industry is really through more companies just being more savvy on their freight lanes and understanding where they're making money. And so, you know, I referred earlier to our transportation advisory group. So they use software to help analyze where companies make money on what lanes and how to better structure their freight network. And there are a few software packages out there that do that. But I think as we get better with AI, it's just going to make people's pricing much, much stronger and better. And I think it's going to be great for the industry because you're going to be able to bid lanes more appropriately, cut lanes that aren't profitable. And that is what I think is going to be the big trend over the next, call it 5 years. As software companies and AI kind of just hone that process.
That's a very interesting perspective, and I appreciate you sharing that. Randy, we're bumping up against our time here, so I want to thank you for joining us today. This has been very insightful. I know there's a lot more we could talk about if we had more time to do so. And I also want to thank those that tuned in and listened to this podcast this afternoon. I will say that if you have any interest in getting any more information about any of the topics we discussed today, feel free to reach out to me. You can call me at 317-816-1830. My email address is Stephen with a V, steven.young@ubs.com. If you have a question for me or if you have a question for Randy, let me know. We'll get you in touch. And with that, I'm going to thank everybody for joining us. And Randy, again, thank you for joining us. It's been great.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
All right. Have a great day, everybody. Bye-bye.